Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In part one of Thus Spoke Zarathustra, there's a section called Of the Afterworlds Men, the people who are constantly striving for and talking about and orienting themselves in relation to some other world than the one that we live in, experience things in. They may talk about an afterlife, they may talk about some ideal realm, but they all have something in common. And this chapter begins in a very interesting way with Zarathustra, Nietzsche's mouthpiece, confessing that he himself imagined a sort of projected being that then would have created the world. And this bears resemblance to some other religious and philosophical conceptions that you can find. He says that Zarathustra cast his deluded fancy beyond mankind, like all afterworldsmen or beyond worldsmen, Hinterwelt, right? And he said, the world then seemed to me like the work of a suffering and tormented God. So instead of assuming a God who is perfect, totally unified, all the attributes in harmony with each other, he assumed a super powerful being who's a suffering God. And that suffering God creates the world precisely in order to distract himself or itself or whatever it is from that suffering that they're experiencing. And the suffering is caused, since there's no world before that, by their own nature. He says, the world seemed to me the dream and fiction of God, colored vapor before the eyes of a discontented God. Good, evil, joy, sorrow, I thought all of them to be things fabricated by this creature, this creator. The creator wanted to look away from himself, so he creates the world. And thereby, he has a spectacle that can allow him to forget his suffering and forget himself. So he says, intoxicating joy and self-forgetting, this is what I once thought the world. Now, what would that mean about this world? This world would not be some perfect realm in which the creator loses himself in ecstatic contemplation of beauty or anything like that. No, the world would actually be more screwed up than him. The world would offer its spectacle precisely because it is a chaos, because things war against each other, strive against each other. It would be, as he says, an eternally imperfect image of a contradiction. A beautiful phrase right there. It's not just saying that it's a contradiction, it's yet an image of a contradiction. And here we might think that Nietzsche is, in some respect, playing off of the Genesis account of God creating man or humankind in his own image, right? The world is created in the image of a contradiction, and in some ways it's even more contradictory than the contradiction in this crazy God. So he says, this would be an intoxicating joy to its imperfect creator. That is what I once thought the world. How did I get out of that? Then I realized that this God that I created was human work and human madness like all other gods. It's just something that we're projecting beyond ourselves. And now we lead into a different approach that human beings have taken. Why would we come up with this God who is kind of nutty and creates a crappy world? Well, it explains the suffering that we're in and in some way redeems that suffering, not by transforming it into something else, but allowing us a distraction, perhaps humor, perhaps irony, something else. But there's a lot of people who are deadly serious about this. And they project an afterlife, an eternal world, a God, whatever it is that you're going to say comes next. Could even be, you know, nirvana or, you know, the endless cycle of birth and rebirth. All of these things are being projected as ways to deal with the fact that we experience suffering and we experience impotence, the incapacity to make things conform to our will, to be better than we would like. He says, it was suffering and impotence that created all afterworlds and the brief madness of happiness that only the greatest sufferer experiences. So if this is the case, then Plato's ideal world of the forms, the Jewish and Christian and other notions of a paradise or heaven or whatever you're going to define it as, a place without suffering, a place without death, a place where we all get to see each other again. All of those would be projections that allow people to deal with how crappy their existence currently is in this life. But they would all be false. So he says, weariness, which wants to reach the ultimate with a single leap, with a death leap, a poor, ignorant weariness, which no longer wants even to want, that created all gods and all afterworlds. And that's a very interesting way to frame it, isn't it? It no longer wants even to want. It wants to not desire, because desiring makes us unhappy, because then we don't get what we want. Oh, if we could only just stop this process, if there were only a world in which we would be totally satisfied, or we wouldn't even need to be satisfied because we wouldn't desire anything anymore. We would be caught in this eternal, perfect, whatever it happens to be, harmony, account of how everything worked out in the end. Pick whatever sort of afterlife you want. Nietzsche would say, well, that's really just a projection. And it comes out of weakness. It comes out of despair. It comes out of suffering. It's not a positive thing, although it seems like it's super positive. It's actually a negation of a negation, you might say. How does this happen? Well, in Nietzsche's ontology, his view on what actually exists, we have bodies. And the body, spirit, if there is spirit, comes out of the body. The body, there's something wrong with it. As he says, it was the body that despaired of the body, that touched the ultimate walls with the fingers of its deluded spirit. It was the body that despaired of the earth, that heard the belly of being speak to it. And then it created all of these, you know, fanciful afterlife, afterworlds, something beyond this. So it's really the body in a form of degeneracy that creates something beyond the body, beyond the earth, beyond this finite existence that we have right here. And it does so in order to deal with the meaninglessness and the suffering and the weariness that comes with being a living thing. So that's his explanation for all of these sorts of mythologies and afterlives. Now, he says that this isn't the only way that we can think of things. He talks then about the ego, the ich. He says this ego, with its contradiction and its confusion, it speaks more honestly of its being. This creating, willing, evaluating ego, which is the measure and value of things. That is what we are if we choose to be that. If we choose not to buy into some pie in the sky, it's all going to be better sometime down the line if we just don't let ourselves get too down by how crappy things are here. Nietzsche is saying, don't buy into that. Instead, be this ego. He says, this most honest being, the ego, it speaks of the body. It insists upon the body, and it also insists upon the earth. He says, even more honestly it learns to speak. The more it learns, the more it finds titles and honors for the body and the earth. And this taught him, he says, a new pride. No longer bury your head in the sand of heavenly things, but carry it freely, an earthly head which creates meaning for the earth. And so what is he advocating here? Don't allow suffering to get you to project some afterworld or afterlife or transcendent God out there who's going to be somehow the solution to all your problems. Stick with the world that you actually have. Stick with the body that you have with all of its problems and the fact that it's going to break down and no longer work the way you want it to after a while. Stick with the earth, with this finite world of existence. He says, I teach mankind a new will, to desire this path that men have followed blindly and call it good and no longer to creep aside from it. Who was the ones who turned away from this? He says, the sick and the dying. They despised the body. They invented things of heaven and redeeming drops of blood. But all of this was actually coming from the body and the earth, which means that the body and the earth are actually much more than these afterworldsmen take them to be. They say, well, the body and the earth, that's not really important stuff. Maybe they're even illusory. They're material. This stuff over here, whatever it is that we're saying is the transcendent, that's where the real action lies. Nietzsche is saying, no. The only way you've got this transcendent thing over here is that came out of the body and the earth, and you used its resources to generate it in the very first place. So why not just go back directly to the body and the earth, embrace the suffering that you have, but don't allow it to drag you down, and don't allow it to turn you into one of these afterworldsmen. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.